Hey there, podcast listeners. This is Justin with BeyondTheUniform.io with episode number 25. If Beyond the Uniform was a person, it could now rent a rental car at a discounted rate. My goal is to give military personnel the tools they need to succeed in their civilian career. I'm speaking today with Lee Haney.
If you're going to be working that many hours, that means that's how many hours you're learning, too. And so in the course of 1 year of work in investment banking, you know, you're effectively getting 2 years of work that you might get somewhere else in terms of the sheer amount of time you're exposed to thinking about these key business problems.
Lee served in the Marine Corps, attended the Chicago Booth School of Business, worked in the finance industry at Goldman Sachs as an investment banker, and now works at Hewlett-Packard Enterprises, where he reports to their chief operations officer. If you're interested in finance, Lee does an admirable job of breaking down what it's like to work in the high-paced, unpredictable world of investment banking. If you're interested in technology, Lee does a great job of describing his life within one of the biggest companies in tech. Lee is also chief financial officer at Service to School, so he has some great advice about using that free resource as well. So here is my conversation with Lee Haney. All right, well, my guest today is Lee Haney. Just a quick background on Lee. Lee works in business operations and strategy for the COO of Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. He graduated in the top 5% of his class at the Naval Academy and served in the Marine Corps for 5 years as a human intelligence officer with deployments to both Iraq and Afghanistan. After transitioning out of the military, Lee attended the University of Chicago's Booth School of Business, where he graduated with honors. Since getting his MBA, Lee has worked in the finance industry with Goldman Sachs as an investment banking associate before transitioning to Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. One more note, Lee is the CFO, or the Chief Financial Officer, for Service to School, which regular listeners will remember as the nonprofit organization that I have a love affair with. They provide free service to any veteran to help you get into your ideal college or grad school program. So, Lee, welcome to the show. Anything you'd like to add to that background or about your personal life?
No, I think you nailed it, Justin. Thank you for taking the time to chat with me, and I'm really looking forward to speaking with you today.
Great, me too. Well, to kick things off, I always like to start with asking about when you knew you were going to leave the military and how you approached that decision.
You know, it wasn't something that happened overnight, and I imagine this is the way it goes for a lot of folks. There's a lot of uncertainty and wondering about, is this the right thing for me? And so for me, I think the biggest driving factor was simply it was my time of transition was expected to be 2013, and at that time, Afghanistan was starting to wind down. Iraq had fully wound down, and I felt like I really wanted to get onto something else where there was a lot of action. I think Marines are really familiar with the term Marines move to the sound of the guns, and it felt like things were getting a little bit more quiet within the Marine Corps. And so I was looking for the next big challenge, and that I think that was the biggest driver for me thinking about should I move on to something else next. And considering that against what potential opportunities that remained in the Marines at the time, it felt like it was the right time to try to start my civilian career.
And how did you approach the decision when you got out of whether or not to join the reserves?
You know, that's a great question. I think I talk to folks a lot about that going into business school or services school as well. I think it's actually very, very personal for each person. So I can't imagine that there's a right or a wrong decision on that. But I think for a lot of the folks that I know that really enjoyed it were particularly people either with families where the reserves can be an especially good option to ease the transition based on healthcare benefits or just kind of keeping one foot in the uniform to kind of keep that cultural tie, keep it alive and active. And then also for people who, say, are aviators, you know, it's not a bad opportunity to get paid to keep your flying time active. And I think that's probably a fun activity just about anyone would want to do anyways. So for a lot of the ground officers and, you know, maybe some of the more line responsibilities, I think that's where it may be a little bit tougher of a decision. And so for me, I felt like I wanted to have my focus entirely on one thing. I wanted to be able to be really, really good at whatever I was doing at the moment. And I was a little bit concerned that I would be splitting my focus if I were doing the reserves and it weren't something that was a primary aim of mine to try to accomplish.
Yeah, it was similar. It's kind of that thought of just entering into the unknown, feeling like I had complete freedom to devote my energy to wherever life took me. And it is interesting. I agree with what you said. It is a very individual question, depending on someone's, you know, where they're at in life and their family and all these other factors. And I have to admit, if I was an aviator and I had the option to be flying on the weekends, that would probably tip me over. Where that sounds different enough from my day job. Yeah,
that's right.
And when you look back on that first year out of the Marine Corps, what was one of the more surprising aspects of your transition to civilian life?
You know, I think my biggest surprise was a pretty pleasant one, and I should not have been surprised by this, but I was really floored by the willingness of all the service branches, members and veterans looking out for each other. So for instance, when I graduated from the Naval Academy, I knew that I was going to be graduating with that alumni base and, you know, all the wonderful things that you're told about what that means when you're at school. But I didn't really appreciate that people that didn't go to a service academy or weren't necessarily in the Navy or Marine Corps would look after you just the same. So I think it's one thing that was really nice was realizing that when you're on LinkedIn or when you're interacting with folks looking for a job search, that I should be just as comfortable reaching out to someone with an Air Force or a Navy or an Army background with the expectation they're going to care just as much about me as a Marine would. And like I said, I shouldn't have been surprised by it, but it was a really wonderful thing to kind of come to realize.
Yeah, it is funny. I feel like it seems like, and maybe it's revisionist history, but it seems like when I was in the military, warfare specialty and branch of service seemed to matter a lot. And then on the other side, it's kind of like it's not to oversimplify, but it feels like it's all the same. It's like, look, you were in the Army, you were in the Air Force. It doesn't really even matter. It's like, look, we went through 90% of what we went through was the same, and maybe the 10% around the edges was different around what exactly we did. But it does seem like it doesn't really matter what the person's background is. Having that shared military connection is enough to say, like, hey, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to help you out. And I've experienced that as well, where people have been so generous in their time and availability.
I completely agree with you. I think that's exactly right. And it's at a minimum, everybody who is a veteran has gone through that experience of having to live through the transition. And that's probably for transitioning vets, that's the most important commonality you could have, because they know the kinds of questions you're asking and maybe even the kinds of questions that you should be asking a couple of months down the road that they can already start to help you with.
Absolutely. And looking at your experience at Chicago Booth School of Business, they have a reputation for being one of the top business schools in the world. I'm just curious about how you decided to go from the Marines to grad school versus going straight into industry.
You know, I could probably make this sound really nice and wonderful, but to be completely frank, I just don't think I was ready to go directly into industry at the time. I didn't feel comfortable that I had the skills or the knowledge to fully take advantage of what could possibly come ahead. And so I think in some ways going to business school can be kicking the can down the road a little bit. But I think that if one's going to kick the can, it's a really good credentialing experience and a wonderful 2-year period to spend learning a lot of those skills and the knowledge that we didn't have the opportunity to really see all that much in the military. So for me, I felt like being able to have at least some GI Bill support and have a 2-year transition period where I was going to be adding to my resume, but at the same time have the opportunity to still spend time thinking about what I want to be when I grow up, because that was not at all clear to me after 5 years in the Marines. You know, you have such, I think broadly, it's very easy to say what my reason for being is when you're in uniform. It's that, at least for me, and I imagine this applies for a lot of veterans, it's not quite so clear what my reason for being is, at least early in the transition period. And those are big questions that, at least for me, took a lot longer to answer than just those few months before leaving the Marine Corps.
Yeah, that resonates with me. I mean, that's one thing I'm hoping to do with this show is to offset that, because I felt like the business school experience for me was necessary to get exposure to all the different career possibilities and just know what was out there. And hopefully, you know, through these interviews, it's at least an approximation of starting to get that sense of what different careers are and what they look like. And like you said, getting it from the veteran perspective of someone who's been in their shoes before.
I completely agree.
And you worked with service to school as part of your application process for Booth, is that right?
So it's interesting you brought that up, and I'm glad you did. Service to school is something I really wish I had known about when I was applying, and I feel like I hear that from a lot of veterans as well. So I had the wonderful support of a lot of veterans clubs while I was applying, but I actually did not use service to school, and I feel very fortunate that I had a great outcome, but it's definitely something I wish I had the opportunity to known about in advance.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, I guess in addition to advising people to work with service to school, I'm wondering any other advice on applying to business school or particularly to Chicago Booth School of Business?
Sure. I think I talked to a lot of vets who ask, how important is it to go visit campuses? And that's a real question when you're stationed in, say, San Diego, and you're thinking about having to fly to Boston or take a number of days of leave to just travel around the country and visit different sites. And I actually think that that's one of the most important aspects of the process, and the investment's really worth it. Because when I went on my I'd call it basically about a full week tour of visiting all the all the schools I had listed out that I was interested in, I was somewhat surprised by a couple of schools that I just didn't feel like clicked for me. And I'm really glad that I didn't end up spending the time applying and then potentially going there and not enjoying the experience. Whereas other schools that were maybe somewhere middle or lower end of my list, once I visited, I realized, wow, this just really fits me personality and culture wise. And it's really more what I'm looking for. And I think that in-person experience is kind of irreplaceable in a way that a website or even informational interviews with other veterans or students could never really fully fill the gap.
That's I love the efficiency of that. You know, my approach was I didn't want to visit the school until I got in, because I was like, I don't want to waste the time and money if I don't even get in. But what I love what you're saying is like, you could save all the time of the application. And there were some schools that I visited where I'm like, exactly like you said, like, I know that this, it's nothing about the school, it's just not a good fit for me. And had I done that up front, it would have saved months and months and months of application time. So I like that efficient approach on that. How many schools did you apply to?
So I ended up, I think that this helped me narrow it down, so I didn't feel like I was spending too much time writing applications. So I applied in round one to three different schools, and I got into two of them and interviewed at the other one. And at that point, these were my top three options. So I felt like it made it a little bit easier. I didn't have to do any round two applications, and it was fairly straightforward in that sense. But I mean, that to anyone who's listening, that probably I think that as you well know, grossly oversimplifies everything that went into it. Applying to business school or applying to for higher education at any stage for veterans is a significant investment of time. And I know I spent a lot of time, whether it was studying through the GMAT or writing essays or talking to students, that all that investment was really key for that success to turn out the way it was.
That's great. And looking back at your time at Booth, what did you like most and least about your time there?
Sure. So I think on the what I liked most, one thing that really attracted me to Booth was really, and it wasn't necessarily even specific to Booth, but just the Midwest culture of feeling like everybody was really nice and had your best interests at heart. I felt like it was a great opportunity, a great place to spend the transition, where if I don't really know what I want to do next, or if I have a lot of questions that, you know, maybe I feel like I should already know the answers to, but I don't know if who should I feel comfortable asking these questions to. And I just felt like it was a really safe place to be able to learn, be introspective and think about what should be coming next for me. So Booth, I felt like, was particularly well suited to that kind of environment, where I felt like the folks that were around me for those 2 years were also the kinds of folks I wanted to be my closest friends for the next 40 years. So when people talk about business school being a good place to build a network, I think that's a really key aspect of that is you got to really want these people to be in your network. And just because they have powerful backgrounds doesn't necessarily mean you're going to want to stay in touch with them forever. And I really felt that connection early on. And it's something I still see every day. Most of my closest friends in the Bay Area are Boothies, and that was a really wonderful aspect of the experience. But to answer your question on the flip side, maybe one of the more challenging aspects, I think, is actually pretty consistent across all business schools experiences, all business school experiences. It's just a lot of opportunities to do a million things, and there are never enough hours in the day. I would love to major in 15 different topics and be able to go to every single event that's out there and meet every single person in the class. And being able to find a way to prioritize is really challenging. No matter how well you were able to manage your time in the military or otherwise. So I think that's one thing that people talk about a lot is how you manage your time and choosing what experiences you get exposed to. And that was definitely something that I felt like was a challenge, and I don't know that there's a perfect way to navigate it, but it's certainly not an easy part of the experience.
Yeah, that fear of missing out or FOMO was I remember being a big psychological hurdle to overcome of like you said, knowing that there's 15 different activities every hour of every day, and then when you choose one, you're wondering if you chose the wrong one and if it would have been better to go to another event. And that's it sounds silly, but that was a big big hurdle to overcome.
I totally agree.
And I wanted to talk about your experience at Goldman Sachs. I imagine most veterans have heard of Goldman. From my experience, that it has a reputation of being one of the most difficult organizations to get into, and kind of resume gold in terms of a powerful signal that if you were able to work at Goldman, you're doing something right. And I know at Stanford, it was extremely competitive to even get an internship at Goldman. And so I'm curious, when you were at Booth, what drew you to the world of finance as your first post-MBA job?
Sure. And I think that my particular experience may be a little bit more unique in this respect. My business school applications were all focused around consulting. And I don't think I'm alone in the cadre of veterans who think that consulting is the appropriate first step. It kind of fits a lot of our experience in the military, maybe especially if we were any kind of foreign military advisors. But I accidentally stumbled across, it's called the Veterans Integration Program, as a pre-MBA internship for Goldman Sachs. And basically a Marine Corps buddy mentioned it to me, said, hey, you should consider looking at this. And he said largely the same things you just said now about what the value of working in a place like this could be. And I, at least initially, didn't know really anything about it, but thought, hey, what's the harm in looking more deeply into this? And as I started to learn more about Goldman Sachs in particular, I started to really feel a draw towards not necessarily the exact work application of investment banking, but really the people and the environment. I felt like it was a place where I was going to be surrounded by people that not only were extremely hard workers and very intelligent, but the folks that I was able to meet through the interview process and just veterans I was able to connect with before starting work there, I really felt like I'd be at home with people that not only you could learn a lot from, but they're the kind of kids I'd want to be my next door neighbors and, you know, watch my kids someday. And I think that was something that I, frankly, growing up on, you know, Main Street, not having any exposure to kind of Wall Street universe, I didn't ever expect that to be the case. So I think it was really a personal draw towards the type of environment. I felt like I could really learn and prosper intellectually in a place where you're comfortable with everyone around you and you think that they have their best interest in it. You may start picking up on a theme here, is that my impressions of Booth were actually very similar of my impressions of Goldman and why I wanted to go there. So it was a very roundabout way of kind of falling for investment banking. It was not my intent at all, but it turned out to be a really, really good experience. So I ended up spending two internships there before I started full time, and it was once I'd kind of stepped through the door, at that point, it was a no-brainer for me. I couldn't really imagine going anywhere else for my first job post-business school.
And the Veterans Integration Program, so was that for like a month or two prior to starting business school?
That's right. And it's actually set up for anyone that's transitioning. And as far as I'm concerned, it's the best possible transition program someone could go through who's interested in finance. Because it's for people not only doing investment banking, but their operations roles, there's a risk management and just a variety of different positions available. Like think of every MOS or, you know, warfare specialty you could have. You kind of have that same variety available at Goldman to try out for about 2 months in the spring. And so there were folks that were going off to do their MBA afterwards, but for the most part, the lion's share of participants are people that were directly making their transition and looking for full-time employment. So it was a really broad-based, I would say one of the best veterans programs that's out there. And you know, I no longer work there anymore. So I clearly really believe that it was a great opportunity.
Yeah, I'm very jealous. If I could redo my pre-MBA experience, I would definitely look into a program like that, because even just a few months of real world or business world experience prior to grad school would have really been informative and would have been a very, I don't know, it seems like it would have accelerated the learning process before being thrown into grad school. So it sounds like for, you know, whether someone's considering grad school or not, that sort of program seems like a great introduction to finance and just kind of what one potential career path would look like.
I think so. And it's not just investment banks that have these programs. I mean, I know that Bank of America and JP Morgan both have pre-MBA opportunities, but so do a lot of larger companies like consumer packaged good companies like Procter & Gamble. I know Google has a program. The consulting firms have some programs, and they're not necessarily all the same length, but just about for anyone who's applying to business school, just about every veterans club student group will have a list of these opportunities available. And it's certainly not necessary to take advantage of them, but I think that for people who have the time and the inclination, it's definitely worth the time.
That's great. And for someone who's maybe on active duty, who's not as familiar with Goldman Sachs or the investment banking world, how would you explain what they do, and how would you explain the landscape in terms of some of the bigger or more well-known players in the industry?
Sure. And I think that my initial impression of what Goldman Sachs was, just from growing up as a kid and hearing the name, is similar to what most people think of. I was definitely picturing the big trading floor with people yelling and screaming and papers flying around and phones being banged down on the desk. And I was going in and seeing that how much variety there is in terms of what the institution does, I think was really, really sobering for me to kind of understand the bigger picture. So at the end of the day, while Goldman Sachs may not have branches out on the street and ATMs you can go deposit money into, it is still a bank. And in the sense that it's trying to help people who have money, try to either save it and invest it in ways that's going to grow their portfolio. And that's really their sales and trading effort, or advise people and specifically large companies on how are they going to make strategic decisions that would require lots of capital, lots of money to invest to make really, either organically grow their businesses or acquire others. And so it's if I were to think about maybe a role that would be similar in the military to something that would represent the entirety of Goldman Sachs, it doesn't exist. But in terms of at least investment banking specifically, it's really to serve as a trusted advisor for major decisions. So someone that may have been around for a long time and seen a number of major military operations in the past, who's able to advise the commanding general on how a major operation should take place. I think that's really what investment bankers do, is help people make these big kind of life or death decisions for companies that they may not have lived through themselves before.
That's great. That's great. And maybe skipping ahead just a bit, when you were at Goldman, your role was an investment banking associate. How would you describe what that is to someone on active duty and what your day-to-day looked like?
So it's much like being deployed. I think that every day could be a little bit different. But on the whole, it reminded me very much of being deployed, with the clear exceptions of a complete lack of danger and the fact that you could take a shower at the end of each day. So, but otherwise, I felt like there was a very strong sense of camaraderie with the people you're working with, because you're all working very, very hard, and potentially working quite long hours that everyone's pretty familiar with. But I think that in terms of the day-to-day experience, I kind of expected, well, if you say you're working so many hours a week, that means, you know, you're unless you lived through it, it's not 100% clear what those 100 hours really look like. And when I would wake up in the morning, if you could break down the day into two parts, I'd say there's basically a day A and day B. And day A was about 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And there, it actually could be filled with meetings start to finish, or it could include you walking around having coffee chats with people who are interested in the company or getting to know other people in the firm. And then day B was really kind of after dinner time, when you got down and really started to do the work and analysis. And so it reminded me a lot of the military in terms of going out and being on patrol, but still having a lot of work to do otherwise, to really get yourself kind of prepared for the next day. In that sense, it was a very comfortable environment, because I kind of, you may not know what the work itself is going to be the next day, but I was really comfortable with the type of uncertainty that was going on.
What would that day be look like then? So that would that start at like 6 p.m. or what were the hours like for that?
Sure. So if throughout the course of day A, you're in meetings most of the day and talking to clients or just talking with other folks within the bank, day B was kind of following up on any questions or requests that happened throughout day A. So that would be working with a financial model to build out what you'd expect you need to present on the next day in terms of valuation for a company or just what just answering specific questions that somebody or maybe even the client had about how something would work out. And I think that's where a lot of those technical skills people talk about for finance, that's where those are really utilized most heavily. And so there's a lot of time in Excel and PowerPoint in the evenings getting prepared for the next day to be presenting those findings to people.
And just to put it in context, because I'm remembering a conversation I had with another veteran who was just getting out, and he had said, look, I'm not looking to have a crazy job like an investment banker of 50 hours a week. And I was like, whoa, let's stop right there. Like, it's not 50 hours a week. You know, like you had said, 100 hours a week is probably representative. But that's, you know, to be clear, that's 7 days a week, 14-hour days. And I understand it's probably not like that all the time, but that's like 7 a.m. towards till 9 p.m. or the equivalent. I mean, it's tremendous amount of time. And you know, I would love your thoughts on this, but my impression of one of the advantages of investment banking is when you go through that sort of crucible experience, you know, 100 hours a week of doing all of this financial analysis work in Excel and in PowerPoint, like you get very good very quickly. You are cramming so much experience into such a finite amount of time that you get your technical skills and tactical abilities, they get very good very quickly. And I'm just wondering if that matched your experience.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. That's both what drew me to it after going through one internship, what drew me to want to come back, and also I think is really reflective of what I saw, is that if you're going to be working that many hours, that means that's how many hours you're learning too. And so in the course of 1 year of work in investment banking, you know, you're effectively getting 2 years of work that you might get somewhere else, in terms of the sheer amount of time you're exposed to thinking about these key business problems. And I think that many people can probably commiserate with the idea of the longest week at a 40-hour week job could potentially feel longer than a week, 100-hour week in an intense job if you're sitting around and kind of waiting for the next thing to come up. I felt like I was always highly intellectually engaged during those 100 hours. So I really think that I always felt like I was learning, and it wasn't necessarily that you're being driven so hard that it's unsustainable. And moreover, I think that the industry is changing. When I first interviewed in 2013, it really was a 7-day-a-week experience. And when I left Goldman earlier this year, things were night and day from just those couple years apart, where I had the expectation that nearly every single Saturday I'd have a whole day off and not have to respond to any emails. And there were plenty of Sundays where that ended up being the case as well, which is just in total stark contrast from what I saw when I first started, before a lot of the lifestyle changes started to take place. So I think that some of that hard outer edge of the experience is starting to wear a little bit, and it's becoming a little bit more sustainable for people with families. But at the same time, it retains that very intense, I'm leaving the military and this is a good catch-up experience kind of opportunity for someone to take to really learn the things that maybe we missed out on while we're in the military.
Yeah, I think that's good to bear in mind, the changes that are going on in that industry and a lot of the lifestyle changes. And one other thing that jumped out to me as you were talking about your experience is I can imagine for a lot of veterans when they're first making that transition, how many different needs investment banking would serve for them in terms of the camaraderie I imagine you feel with your colleagues when you're going through these very intense working situations and you're working all the time, and I'm imagining you're outside of work seeing these people as well. It seems like that in some ways approximates that military camaraderie, you know, obviously lacking in ways, but at least giving you that shared sense of purpose. And also, I know a lot of veterans want that challenge. They want to be pushed to their extreme. And so I imagine it kind of fulfilled that aspect of really pushing you, really feeling like you're constantly learning and growing. And so I'm just aware, as you're speaking of that, how suitable that might be for a lot of veterans. And it's one thing I wanted to ask about is, if someone is listening to this and they're saying, wow, that does actually sound really interesting, do you have any advice on what are some signs that someone may be really well suited for this, and maybe some signs like, hey, this might not be the best career option for you?
Sure. And I really think you just nailed, hit the nail on the head in terms of what the experience is like, and that intense sense of camaraderie. I just had brunch this last Saturday with some of my former analysts I work with, and you know, I love spending time with them, but I was so pleasantly surprised by folks that were junior to me that reached out to me, wanted to stay in touch and keep a relationship going. I think that's just reflective of how close you do become through that experience. For anybody who's thinking about whether or not investment banking is a good career path for them, I think you brought it up earlier. It is very challenging to get into investment banking. It's extremely competitive. And I think one indicator that I think people should keep in mind is how comfortable do you feel with math at a very basic level. And if you like math and you really enjoy spending a lot of time with numbers, then this could be a path that I think someone would enjoy doing day in, day out. But if you kind of look at yourself and say, I can't imagine myself wanting to solve math problems at 2 or 3 a.m., then I think that also might be an indicator.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And I know that Goldman comes up a lot in terms of an institution that a lot of veterans aspire to work at. Do you have any advice for someone who's going through the interview process or the application process about how to potentially land a job there?
Sure. I certainly did not know this when I first started out, but I luckily bumped into a guy who's going to eventually become my roommate at Booth, who's a Marine. And he just said, hey, I know you're applying for this Veterans Integration Program. Would you like to talk to my buddy? He's currently in investment banking at Goldman, and he's a Marine. And that really touched off, I think, the single most important thing to help me get a job there, which was talking to a ton of folks who could tell me about their experiences. Everyone kind of lives through it a slightly different way. And so I think hearing it a number of times really helps reinforce what would resonate for me versus maybe it was just different for somebody else. And then also really keying in on the important things I need to be prepared for in interviews and really being ready to present the best version of myself possible comes the interview day. So at Goldman in particular, but I think this is the case for just about every investment bank as well, there are veterans everywhere. And so I'd really heavily advise just getting in touch with every last veteran you can get your hands on. And then past that, you're probably going to get introduced to even more people as well. So I think just really laying in on the number of conversations to ask really key questions that you couldn't find out from the website otherwise is really important. And that I think that goes for applying to business school or probably any other industry as well, is that advanced research is really what makes or breaks the interview experience, I think.
That's great. And looking back on your time in investment banking, what did you like most about that and least about that experience?
Yeah. So I think the best part of the experience, this may sound a little cliche, but it's certainly the people. I mean, I think that that despite what I may have thought from my initial mainstream impression or what people may see in the news or TV, I thought I found the nicest people I've ever come across working at Goldman Sachs. And so they're people I still want to spend time with on the weekends. And it still remains true that they're the kind of people that, you know, I would trust with my kids when I have some someday. So I think that was just something that, while maybe not fully expected, was really, really what I'll always look back on in terms of the best part that came out of Goldman. A little bit more strategically, career-wise, I also think that I would be nowhere near where I am today without having had that experience, both because of where you can go after an experience like Goldman Sachs, and also because of the skills that I was able to build there to your point, Justin, in a pretty short period of time. I really think that's been important for my success after Goldman. In terms of the challenges, I don't think anyone's surprised by the challenges or just how hard it is to kind of work through the long hours. But I think it's much less about the sheer duration, but much more just about the uncertainty. So I think that just about anybody could manage working through 3 super long days at work where you're getting very little sleep. But what's much harder is telling your wife 5 minutes after you're already supposed to be at home that you're going to be late and you're going to be arriving 4 hours after you thought you were going to be able to. And I think that those kind of surprises for when you lose your free time are some of the harder things to deal with. And I think that that's part of what's changing in the industry is maybe the full amount of hours spent doesn't necessarily change too much, but giving someone an entire Saturday where they know they can make plans with friends, I think really serves to lessen that impact that I think was a challenge that a lot of investment bankers talk about when they say that the hours are tough. I think when bankers say they're long hours, they're not really saying the number of hours. It's really more the uncertainty, I think.
That's something I hadn't realized, but when you say that, it makes sense, especially when you're inconveniencing a spouse or friends and constantly having to have your schedule change and be unreliable outside of work, I imagine that would take its toll. And just your own ability to set up plan. I'm a big planner, so I just keep on thinking of like all the plans I would make and then not being willing to make those plans because I just don't know what work's going to do, or having to constantly change them because there's a fire in the office. I do imagine that would be more grating than the hours themselves.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right.
And one more question before we move on to Hewlett-Packard Enterprises. I'm wondering, when you look back on your first couple of years out of the military, In what ways did you feel ahead of your civilian counterparts, and in what ways did you feel like you had to catch up to them?
So maybe I'll cover the catching up part first. of all the things that we spent our time learning in the military, there was very little, and next to zero, that was devoted towards thinking about anything related to profit or money. And so, you know, everyone's salaries are public when you're in the military, and that's not kind of why you're there. And so a lot of the catch up, while it's both kind of reframing your overall impression of what the goals of an organization should be, I really think the key catch up points were just learning this new language that none of us had ever spoken in the military. Even the finance officers thinking about a budget process for a government organization is wildly different than what anyone would do in a for-profit. And so the catch-up was so much about the language, but also that reframing of why are we doing this? What's the commander's intent for this mission? And just in the military, you know, it was never anything to do with money. In terms of the kind of experiences, I think that were really valuable. And, you know, one of the reasons why I wouldn't trade my time in the military for anything is that I don't think any veteran would be surprised by this, but when you're faced with kind of chaotic or high uncertainty situations, I think we've been through so many of those by the time you get out of the military, that when a new one comes up in the civilian world, it's much easier to kind of keep your head. And, you know, any veteran hearing that may be imagining some big, huge business decision that has to be made, but it could be something much smaller that just makes it easier to make a smart decision for class selection in business school. You're less stressed about having to bid on certain courses, and so you're less emotionally engaged in that decision, and you can be much more rational about it. I think it actually impacts really day-to-day experiences consistently, my hope is that allows us to make better decisions. So I think that's one place where that kind of being able to step back and not allow emotions to engage our decision-making process as much as might have been the case otherwise is a really big strength that I hope every veteran is able to take with them.
Well put. That's great. And I did want to, since you're active with service to school, I did want to make a little bit of room to talk about that. And, you know, I there's questions that come for me of just imagining that you work with a lot of veterans. So there's a lot of curiosity around frequent questions that you see from veterans or common mistakes from veterans. But I'd rather just use the time to back up and maybe just open it up around what you've learned from your time from service to school or anything you'd like to share with listeners about that experience and what you've taken away from it.
Sure. So my experience with service to school was born of bumping into a classmate at Chicago Booth who had used it for his own experience and us talking about things, you know, just ideas we had about veterans going through the transition. And I said, of course, that's something I want to be engaged in. And it's kind of funny that I think that everyone I talk to, every veteran I talk to about that process kind of has the same reaction. Well, of course, I would love to help with something like that. You know, it's almost a no-brainer. If I'm thinking about ways to kind of give back to veterans, and here's one that's pretty straightforward, and it's really just leveraging the one piece of key experience and expertise that I've really developed, which was how not to too awfully screw up my own transition out of the military. Then, you know, I think that just about every veteran on earth is really looking forward to get to help out in that kind of way. So my own experience with service school started out with being an ambassador and helping individuals applying to business school. And over time, I was able to find out that, well, this organization's growing significantly and is going to need a lot more kind of coordinating effort in terms of, at least in the role I'm pursuing, kind of trying to help organize the finances of the company, of the nonprofit, to make sure that we're able to continue providing resources for a wildly growing set of applicants, and then coordinating, of course, all of the volunteers who we refer to as ambassadors who support all those applicants.
That's great. That's great. Well, I know that we're nearing the end of our time together. I'm just wondering, in terms of final words of wisdom, if someone's listening right now and they're on active duty and thinking of transitioning in the next couple of years, is there any advice you'd give to them on how to start that preparation or any resources you'd point them to that might help them think through that transition?
Yeah, and I think that first question of should I get out or should I even be thinking about getting out, that could happen, you know, several years before someone makes a transition. And I think that one big challenge is that if you're surrounded by all the folks who haven't made the decision to get out, whether it's because it's not their time yet or because they've chosen to stay in for longer careers, the advice that they're going to give is only based off of their own experience. And I think that it's just so important to talk to folks who either have made the transition or just people on the outside to get a clear picture of what it looks like. Because the grass is always greener view is so easy to fall into when you're in the military and you're doing a field day or you've got duty on a Sunday again or whatever daily misery we've all kind of experienced. But trying to figure out what is actually happening on the outside, I think that just reaching out probably far earlier than one would think is necessary to talk to someone that's just even a couple of years ahead to ask them about what they're doing with their time. And I think that those are the kinds of experiences that make it much easier to say, well, actually, I really like the military. Maybe I should stay in the Marines. Or if I do choose to start thinking, maybe I want to think about getting out, all of a sudden, I've already started building my own personal network of what's going to help me make that happen. And I remember hearing that word networking while I was in the military, and I thought it was such a dirty, awful word. And I just, it was something I kind of thought to myself, I don't want to do that. That's not me. But once I started to appreciate a little bit more of it, I guess I'm reframing it in my own mind as meaning that you're building genuine relationships with people, that all of a sudden it stopped being this kind of scary thing I didn't want to be involved in, and realizing that it was going to be not only helpful for me in terms of taking the next steps in my career, but also just a really enjoyable thing to find out, wow, there's all these people out there that are really nice, have had similar experiences to me, and they just want to help. And one question maybe I'd suggest veterans who are thinking about transitioning should ask themselves is, well, would you help the guy that's coming up behind you? And obviously the answer is of course you would. And so why would it be any different when you're thinking about asking for help? There's just so many people out there and so many resources that people want to provide. And I think in a lot of cases, it's simply just a matter of asking and taking a look. The whole idea that you just pop open LinkedIn and look at somebody who happens to gone to the same school as you or had the same military experience, I think it's going to be pretty rare that someone isn't willing to spend 30 minutes to talk about their experience to help out a veteran.
I love that reframing, because I do think that the aversion to networking is a common theme amongst veterans. And I love that way that you put that of just, look, of course you would want to pay things forward, and that's the same for another veteran. And so it's not a burden in any way to reach out asking for that advice. And I also like the sense of what you're saying, that we are all so different and so unique in terms of what motivates us and what we're seeking and what will make us happy. And by having more exposure to more and more different veterans and seeing what path they took, it may help someone figure out what they want to do. And that could be staying in the military, it could be getting out, but just getting a sense for people who are just a little bit ahead of you and the decision they've made and how that's impacted them might help add clarity to knowing what might be right for you. So I really like the way you laid that out.
I think that's right. And Justin, I think that what you're doing right now with your own research and these interviews is really fantastic, and hopefully is able to impact a much larger group of veterans than we ever could just kind of one-on-one, as every veteran is apt to do.
Thanks, Lee. I appreciate it. And I appreciate your taking the time to share your story with the listeners and your advice. It's been great chatting with you.
And thank you, Justin.
Surface.
Thanks for listening. Three quick announcements. First, if you're enjoying this podcast, it would mean a lot if you take a few minutes to leave a review on iTunes. It helps me get this work further out to the veteran community. Second, based on my interviews, I'd advise any and all veterans to look at servicetoschool.org and the American Corporate Partners. Both are completely free for veterans and give you a lot of great resources for your education or professional life, respectively. Third, there are a ton of other great interviews, resources, and data at beyondtheuniform.io. Check it out, share it with your friends, and drop me a line if you have any feedback. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks, and see you on the next interview.
When I first interviewed in 2013, it really was a 7-day a week experience. And when I left Goldman earlier this year, things were night and day from just those couple years apart, where I had the expectation that nearly every single Saturday I'd have a whole day off and not have to respond to any emails. And there were plenty of Sundays where that ended up being the case as well, which is just in total stark contrast from what I saw when I first started, before a lot of the lifestyle changes started to take place. So I think that it's some of that hard outer edge of the experience is starting to wear a little bit, and it's becoming a little bit more sustainable for people with families. But at the same time, it retains that very intense, I'm leaving the military, and this is a good catch-up experience kind of opportunity for someone to take to really learn the things that maybe we missed out on while we're in the military. Sure. And I think I think you just nailed hit the nail on the head in terms of what the experience is like, and that intense sense of camaraderie. I just had brunch this last Saturday with some of my former analysts I work with, and you know, I love spending time with them, but I was so pleasantly surprised by folks that were junior to me that reached out to me, wanted to stay in touch and keep a relationship going. I think that's just reflective of how close you do become through that experience. For anybody who's thinking about whether or not investment banking is a good career path for them, I think you brought it up earlier. It is very challenging to get into investment banking. It's extremely competitive. And I think one indicator that I think people should keep in mind is how comfortable do you feel with math at a very basic level. And if you like math and you really enjoy spending a lot of time with numbers, then this could be a path that I think someone would enjoy doing day in, day out. But if you kind of look at yourself and say, I can't imagine myself wanting to solve math problems at 2 or 3 a.m., then I think that also might be an indicator. Sure. And I certainly did not know this when I first started out, but I luckily bumped into a guy who's going to eventually become my roommate at Booth, who's a Marine. And he just said, hey, I know you're applying for this Veterans Integration Program. Would you like to talk to my buddy? He's currently in investment banking at Goldman, and he's a Marine. And that really touched off, I think, the single most important thing to help me get a job there, which was talking to a ton of folks who could tell me about their experiences. Everyone kind of lives through it a slightly different way. And so I think hearing it a number of times really helps reinforce what would resonate for me versus maybe it was just different for somebody else. And then also really keying in on the important things I need to be prepared for in interviews and really being ready to present the best version of myself possible comes the interview day. So at Goldman in particular, but I think this is the case for just about every investment bank as well, there are veterans everywhere. And so I'd really heavily advise just getting in touch with every last veteran you can get your hands on. And then past that, you're probably going to get introduced to even more people as well. So I think just really laying in on the number of conversations to ask really key questions that you couldn't find out from the website otherwise is really important. And that, I think that goes for applying to business school or probably any other industry as well, is that advanced research is really, really really what makes or breaks the interview experience, I think. Yeah. So I think the best part of the experience, this may sound a little cliche, but it's certainly the people. I mean, I think that despite what I may have thought from my initial mainstream impression or what people may see on the news or TV, I thought I found the nicest people I've ever come across working at Goldman Sachs. And so they're people I still want to spend time with on the weekends. And it still remains true that they're the kind of people that, you know, I would trust with my kids when I have some someday. So I think that was just something that, while maybe not fully expected, was really, really what I'll always look back on in terms of the best part that came out of Goldman. A little bit more strategically, career-wise, I also think that I would be nowhere near where I am today without having had that experience, both because of where you can go after an experience like Goldman Sachs, and also because of the skills that I was able to build there in a, to your point, Justin, in a pretty short period of time. I really think that's been important for my success after Goldman. In terms of the challenges, I don't think anyone's surprised by the challenges or just how hard it is to kind of work through the long hours. But I think it's much less about the sheer duration, but much more just about the uncertainty. So I think that just about anybody could manage working through three super long days at work where you're getting very little sleep. But what's much harder is telling your wife 5 minutes after you're already supposed to be at home that you're going to be late and probably and you're going to be arriving 4 hours after you thought you were going to be able to. And I think that those kind of surprises for when you lose your free time are some of the harder things to deal with. And I think that that's part of what's changing in the industry is maybe the full amount of hours spent doesn't necessarily change too much, but giving someone an entire Saturday where they know they can make plans with friends, I think really serves to lessen that impact that I think was a challenge that a lot of investment bankers talk about when they say that the hours are tough. I think when bankers say they're long hours, they're not really saying the number of hours. It's really more the uncertainty, I think. Yeah, I think that's exactly right. So maybe I'll cover the catching up part first. Of all the things that we spent our time learning in the military, there was very little, next to zero, that was devoted towards thinking about anything related to profit or money. And so, you know, everyone's salaries are public when you're in the military, and that's not kind of why you're there. And so, a lot of the catch up, while it's both kind of reframing your overall impression of what the goals of an organization should be, I really think the key catch-up points were just learning this new language that none of us had ever spoken in the military. Even the finance officers thinking about a budget process for a government organization is wildly different than what anyone would do in a for-profit. And so the catch-up was so much about the language, but also that reframing of why are we doing this? What's the commander's intent for this mission? And just in the military, you know, it was never anything to do with money. In terms of the kind of experiences, I think that were really valuable. And, you know, one of the reasons why I wouldn't trade my time in the military for anything is that I don't think any veteran would be surprised by this, but when you're faced with kind of chaotic or high uncertainty situations, I think we've been through so many of those, by the time you get out of the military, that when a new one comes up in the civilian world, it's much easier to kind of keep your head. And, you know, any veteran hearing that may be imagining some big, huge business decision that has to be made, but it could be something much smaller that just makes it easier to make a smart decision for class selection in business school. You're less stressed about having to bid on certain courses, and so you're less emotionally engaged in that decision, and you can be much more rational about it. I think it actually impacts really day-to-day experiences consistently, and my hope is that allows us to make better decisions. So I think that's one place where that kind of being able to step back and not allow emotions to engage our decision-making process as much as might have been the case otherwise is a really big strength that I hope every veteran is able to take with them. So that's a great question, especially considering I ended up spending only about a year at Goldman Sachs after business school. And I think that anyone that ever asks me, they kind of wonder, so, you know, why'd you leave? And my first response is always, well, it wasn't that I wanted to leave, because I was having a great time at Goldman. I was still learning a ton, and I loved the people I was around, and I fully expected to stay significantly longer than I did. And my introduction to HPE came through small world as it is, one of my closest friends who works at Services School, who said they'd come across an opportunity and thought I should maybe look into it, kind of similar to how I got introduced to Goldman Sachs in the first place. And so when I found out that it was potentially being able to work for the chief operating officer, who's a West Point grad himself, I couldn't imagine not at least talking to the guy and learning more about the experience. And so once I came to find out a little bit more about just how much was going on at Hewlett-Packard as a whole, I mean, the company at that time, the company had just split from this $100 billion plus organization into two, one part that sells all the computers and printers that everyone is so familiar with, and another one dealing with enterprise clients. I just felt like it was a place that, similar to my draw towards the Marine Corps, was going to be an experience that allowed me to really engage in big, important decisions that were going to affect a lot of people in kind of a very rapid manner. So that seemed like an opportunity that was one I wouldn't get to see every single day. And I was really fortunate to just have come across it at the right time with the right experience. I don't know that I would be able to have be doing the work I'm kind of working through now without both Chicago Booth and the finance time at Goldman Sachs behind me. Well, I certainly feel very fortunate, and it's been a great experience so far, to be sure. So it's actually, I think, a really tough one to describe because it's. And I think to what I was mentioning earlier about veterans being comfortable with maybe opaque or futures or uncertainty is that knowing that whatever I'm doing on a day-to-day basis may be very different from what I was expecting is one thing that I think someone would have to be really comfortable with to be working in this role. And so it's really surrounding what's most important to the company that happens to be going on at that particular time. So for the first part of this year, there were a lot of decisions being made around big strategic decisions that are now in the news. And so being engaged and working on those projects was really a key focus. And I'd say, so I'm really, when you ask like, what do I do on a day-to-day basis? I'm really applying a lot of the skills I gained in investment banking in terms of the financial analysis, but now not working for a client anymore, but being at an operating company, I find that I'm doing a lot of the kinds of things that I did in the Marine Corps in terms of trying to coordinate between different units and making sure that we're all in sync in terms of the objectives we're trying to reach. And so it's a really interesting balance of the kind of skills that I think it takes to be a successful officer in the military, as well as applying those business and finance skills that we were able to gain from my time in business school or Goldman Sachs. You know, it's not too bad. I've traveled a little bit, but I'm actually traveling much less than I did even in banking. So I'm getting to spend a lot of time getting to explore the Bay Area and spend time with friends. And so it's actually been a very nice experience to have, especially after the intensity of investment banking. Sure. So my experience with services school was born of bumping into a classmate at Chicago Booth who had used it for his own experience, and us talking about things, you know, just ideas we had about veterans going through the transition. And I said, of course, that's something I want to be engaged in. And it's kind of funny that I think that everyone I talk to, every veteran I talk to about that process, kind of has the same reaction. Well, of course, I would love to help with something like that. You know, it's almost a no-brainer. If I'm thinking about ways to kind of give back to veterans, and here's one that's pretty straightforward, and it's really just leveraging the one piece of key experience and expertise that I've really developed, which was how not to too awfully screw up my own transition out of the military. Then, you know, I think that just about every veteran on earth is really looking forward to get to help out in that kind of way. So my own experience with services school started out with just with being an ambassador and helping individuals applying to business school. And over time, I was able to find out that, well, this organization's growing significantly and is going to need a lot more kind of coordinating effort in terms of, at least in the role I'm pursuing, kind of trying to help organize the finances of the company, of the nonprofit, to make sure that we're able to continue providing resources for a wildly growing set of applicants, and then coordinating, of course, all of the volunteers who we refer to as ambassadors who support all those applicants. Yeah, and I think that first question of should I get out or should I even be thinking about getting out, that could happen, you know, several years before someone makes a transition. And I think that one big challenge is that if you're surrounded by all the folks who haven't made the decision to get out, whether it's because it's not their time yet or because they've chosen to stay in for longer careers, the advice that they're going to give is only based off of their own experience. And I think that it's just so important to talk to folks who either have made the transition or just people on the outside to get a clear picture of what it looks like. Because the grass is always greener view is so easy to fall into when you're in the military and you're doing a field day, or you've got duty on a Sunday again, or whatever daily misery we've all kind of experienced. But trying to figure out what is actually happening on the outside, I think that just reaching out probably far earlier than one would think is necessary to talk to someone that's just even a couple of years ahead to ask them about what they're doing with their time. And I think that those are the kinds of experiences that make it much easier to say, well, actually, I really like the military. Maybe I should stay in the Marines. Or if I do choose to start thinking, maybe I want to think about getting out, all of a sudden, I've already started building my own personal network of what's going to help me make that happen. And I remember hearing that word networking while I was in the military, and I thought it was such a dirty, awful word. And I just, it was something I kind of thought to myself, I don't want to do that. That's not me. But once I started to appreciate a little bit more that, I guess I'm reframing it in my own mind as meaning that you're building, genuine relationships with people, that all of a sudden it stopped being this kind of scary thing I didn't want to be involved in, and realizing that it was going to be not only helpful for me in terms of taking the next steps in my career, but also just a really enjoyable thing to find out, wow, there's all these people out there that are really nice, have had similar experiences to me, and they just want to help. And one question maybe I'd suggest veterans who are thinking about transitioning should ask themselves is, well, would you help the guy that's coming up behind you? And obviously the answer is of course you would. And so why would it be any different when you're thinking about asking for help? There's just so many people out there and so many resources that people want to provide. And I think in a lot of cases, it's simply just a matter of asking and taking a look. That the whole idea that you just pop open LinkedIn and look at somebody who happens to gone to the same school as you or had the same military experience, I think it's going to be pretty rare that someone isn't willing to spend 30 minutes to talk about their experience to help out a veteran. I think that's right. And Justin, I think that what you're doing right now with your own research and these interviews is really fantastic and hopefully is able to impact a much larger group of veterans than we ever could just kind of one-on-one as every veteran is apt to do. And thank you, Justin. Thanks, you too, Justin.